This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky.
Let's rock, let's roll.
And we're talking today, Ben, about your article titled Arrays by Any Other Name, which appears in the Reader on April 15th, 2010. Happy tax day to you.
Happy Harold Washington birthday.
Is that today? What factoid can we present about Harold Washington in honor of his birthday?
Well, how about an opinion-toid? He was the greatest mayor Chicago's ever had. How about that?
The first black mayor elected to Chicago. The article talks about your meeting with Chicago Public School officials in the aftermath, if you will, of your article of 2 weeks ago about the pay raises or the apparent pay raises, the alleged pay raises of,
the alleged pay raises.
of upper management at Chicago Public Schools.
Yeah.
Just right off a detail, you said that one of the people with whom you met was Alicia Winkler, who has the title Chief Human Capital Officer. What is
that? I don't know.
No clue.
I have absolutely no clue. Titles are really... That's a whole other story, the titles they give these people.
Human capital.
Yeah. The title and the budget, the amount paid bears no relation to the budget says they get paid. The title in the budget bears no relation to any real title that they may have on their business card. So
that's even more interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. So there's all sorts of mystery going on
mystery,
there.
Mystery. Yeah. Wow. Perry Mason story.
For you younger listeners, that was a TV lawyer. In your story, you said the CPS spokesman, Monique Bond, says for you to be able to see the payroll information for the CPS, you must file a Freedom of Information Act request. Well, I'd say you asked me to come to this meeting to clarify things, and having the payroll information would clarify things. Why don't you just agree to hand it over? Did that kind of thing occur to you at all?
It did, of course, occur to me. I teased them pretty relentlessly in the meeting.
How did you tease them?
Along the lines of what you just said, you know. Isn't that interesting that the one thing that's inaccurate is put out on for the public to see, and the thing that's supposedly accurate, supposedly, I cannot see? And their response was, well, you know, we're working on making things more transparent. So it was a non-response response. They're a tough crew at the Board of Ed.
Speaking of tough, you said in the article that they imposed a restriction on you that you could use whatever they said, but you could not quote the three managers directly.
That was
directly.
The funniest thing. Yeah, they called me downtown. Okay, let that be known. I did not call them for the meeting. And then we were having this meeting where they were going to explain the error of my way so that I would suddenly be enlightened on how a raise is not a raise, and I would be obediently recovering the news the way they want the news to be covered. And then in the middle of it, Alicia and Diana said, oh, you can't quote us. And so I was just like, I mean, what can you do but laugh? And so in other words, they would say something, follow me on this, and then if I said, oh, I want to quote that, then I would have to attribute that quote to Monique Bond. So I had great delight at when they would say something I wanted to quote, I would write it down and then I would give the piece of paper to Monique. Okay, Monique, read it now.
You didn't really do that.
Yeah, I did that. I did all that. Had a lot of fun at my meeting with the big boys and girls.
So did you find that an impediment at all or just amusing?
Well, it's a pain in the neck because instead of going to the person directly who knows, I have to wait for that person to tell somebody who doesn't know what to say. So it's a pain in the neck and a waste of time and a waste of taxpayers' money and a silly and frivolous way to run government. But it's all about controlling information.
When I first started reading the article, it felt to me like a reporter's wet dream. First of all, the agency that your article targets is awash with news of your article. So that's one thing. You know, it just really penetrated, it seems, the bureaucracy on not only the management level, but on the employee level. That's one thing. But secondly, you're invited by the managers to come down and have a face-to-face interview.
Yeah.
You know, so did it feel like that at all to you?
No,
initially?
There was nothing sexual about it in any way. I just want to clear that up. That's your fantasy, not mine. I had nothing remotely could be true. On one level, it was a pain in the neck to have to go downtown and meet with these people. I'm sort of hermit-like in my existence. I was curious to hear what they were going to tell me. There's no truthfulness that comes out of the daily administration. I can honestly say that. If they tell the truth, it's merely because for that particular moment, the truth sort of coincides with their need.
It okay. serves them.
Yeah, it serves them. But what you get is gobbledygook and spin and a combination of the two and out-and-out falsehoods. I hesitate to call them lies because it's such a loaded term. it's just such a bizarre situation. You put so much pressure on them, not just me, but other reporters, to tell the truth. So they reluctantly agree to put public information on the website. You read the public information, and then you report on it, and they tell you, no, the public information that we put on the website is, in fact, wrong. It's very similar to the TIFF story, of course, where well, they haven't quite admitted that what they're putting out is completely wrong on terms of TIFFs, but it's quite an amazing confession, and I don't know how they can make it with a straight face, and so that's why I tease them to see if they'll at least smile, you know, like, okay, you're telling me something that's so utterly absurd, at least smile, okay, at least wink and smile so that I know that you're not a complete idiot and that you truly don't believe.
You didn't quite get that.
I got a couple smiles. I did get a couple smiles. Like wry smiles. Here's the other thing. There's such a fear. You know, Huberman came over and he just started firing people. People have lost their jobs. So the people that have their jobs are so fearful of saying the wrong thing, deviating from whatever inane script is being written for them, that they try not to say anything at all. So while we're sitting here with Monique Bond, who's sort of like Huberman's eyes and ears, watching, you know, to see if they don't deviate, that's why they were so nervous, I think. Why would you take a job? That's something else I don't understand. These are all very talented people that had jobs, left their jobs to join the Huberman team. Why would you take such a job if it means forfeiting your basic rights, First Amendment? I don't know. Maybe I'm in an idealistic world. I just don't get it. You know, you're trying to get the Board of Education out of the fiscal straits that it's in. You should be truthful.
And the next day, apparently the next day after you were at the board, you were on Chicago Tonight.
Yes.
With the chief financial officer, Diana Ferguson.
My good friend.
Did you notice any difference in her approach or her demeanor on television the next day when she was not in the presence of Huberman's eyes and ears?
No. Well, first of all, she was in the presence of Huberman's eyes and ears since they're watching the TV show. So you never escape Big Brother. But she's a very nice person. I mean, she was very nice to me, very cordial. We joke off camera about how we're becoming a tag team. You know, I never heard of her before, and all of a sudden I've seen her twice in 24 hours. And no, there was no real difference. She stuck to the company line on that TV show, as absurd as it is. And, you know, like I said in the article that we're talking about, on one level I sort of feel sorry for them. They're obviously intelligent people, and they're being forced to utter such absurdities that ordinarily intelligent people would not want to be anywhere near.
So are you going to FOIA the payroll?
Yes, my partner in crime of FOIAing, the great Mick Dumke, who's Mr. FOIA, has already done so. We're looking forward to see how much they really make. I mean, that is such a joke. That's my favorite part. Well, there's so many parts of the story that I love just for the comic end of it. But, you know, the budget shows that they're getting a raise, and they complain that it's not really a raise. Look at the payroll. And then when I look at the payroll, they're actually getting more money than the budget says they're getting. So it's even worse than I wrote.
Well, I'm sure once you get the payroll, we'll be talking about this again.
Oh, yes, sir.
Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, TV star. Thanks for talking with me today.
You're welcome.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for other interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.